Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series. This will be my second day of teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, this is a powerful teaching. It's also a very controversial teaching. The body of Christ is divided on this, and I know that there's some of you who've probably watched my program and have really been blessed, who've loved it, that now are just heartbroken that you find out that I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. And let me just say this. I'm saying it in love, but you know what? Don't let prejudice stop you from listening to what I have to say. I'm not going to be mean with this. I'm not going to sit there and say that anybody that doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit is of the devil. The way that people who don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit often say that those who have the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues are of the devil. And so I just encourage you to give it a chance. I encourage you to listen to this and let the Scriptures speak. And then if you reject it, reject it. But I'm telling you that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. It totally changed my life. And I've seen this happen in other people. And I just really believe that you cannot live the truly supernatural life that God wants Christianity to be without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you that from Scripture. Some people will take what I'm saying here and say, so you're saying that you aren't born again if you don't have the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what I'm saying. My personal testimony is I got born again when I was 8 years old and I was truly changed. I know there was a difference. The next day I had my friends recognize the difference and begin to make fun of me when I told them I had been saved. So there was an instantaneous difference. I believe that if I would have died, I would have gone to heaven. And so I believe I was truly saved. And yet I did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit until 10 years later when I was 18. And I'm telling you that my own personal testimony is I know I was saved, and yet I didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in me until I received a separate experience. And so I'm not saying that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you aren't saved. You can go to heaven without receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but why would you want to? Amen. The Scripture teaches that this is where you receive power. And the Holy Spirit is sent to build you up on your most holy faith. It's to encourage you. He reveals Jesus to us. There's just so many powerful benefits of the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to live without the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I believe you can go to heaven without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Actually, I believe you can get there quicker if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you aren't going to have power in your life and you'll die of some disease or Satan will find some way to shorten your life. I'm telling you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't necessary for salvation, but it's necessary for the victorious life that God intended. And I really believe in my heart that there's people watching this program who you're saved and you know that you have Jesus in your heart. You know that there's been a change, but you are frustrated. You aren't seeing the power of God manifest in your life, and you know there's got to be something more. You know, I wished I could sit and talk to you directly and get specifics from you, and you could tell me what's going on, and I could show you that the power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential for you to be able to fulfill and realize all of these things. Many of you are frustrated knowing there's something more, and I am proclaiming to you in the name of the Lord that you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need power in your life. And so we started talking about that yesterday. Let me use the example of Jesus to illustrate this to you. In Matthew chapter 4, this same thing is recorded, it's Matthew chapter 3, the same thing is recorded in Luke chapter 3. But it says in Matthew 3:13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then in chapter 4, immediately he was led into the wilderness. He suffered his temptation by Satan. He came out victorious and he started his ministry. Here's one of the points that I want to make, that of course Jesus was Lord at his birth. The angels in Luke chapter 2, when they proclaimed his birth, they said, "Come see Christ the Lord." He was born Lord. He didn't grow into becoming God. In his spirit, he was God from the beginning. Even when he was this tiny infant, just a day old, he was still God in his spirit. But Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. His spirit didn't grow. It didn't become more God. He was Lord at his birth, but his physical body had to grow. And he had to learn things the same as any of us would. So my point is that he was God from the very beginning. But there isn't a single instance of him demonstrating the power of God, healing anyone, doing any miracles such as turning the water into wine, such as walking on water, such as stilling the storm, healing the sick, opening blind eyes. None of those things happened until the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Now, I will acknowledge that there are some apocryphal books outside of the Bible, but some of the apocryphal books that some people embrace as being biblical, and they have stories of him healing birds and doing things like that. But you know what? I don't believe that that's accurate. That wasn't recorded in what's been canonized as our scripture, and I believe it's inconsistent with what the Bible teaches. The Lord didn't do any miracles until the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. It didn't say that it was in the shape of a dove. The Holy Spirit somehow or another visibly descended, similar to the way that a dove would come down from heaven. It was like a dove, and it descended upon him, and only after he had the power of the Holy Spirit did he start his ministry. Prior to that time, the Scripture is completely quiet. The only glimpse it gives of Jesus before he was 30 years old is when he was 12 years old and he went to the temple and his parents left thinking he was with some of the relatives and he stayed behind in Jerusalem and he was astounding the doctors of the law with his questions and with his answers. It showed that there was supernatural wisdom flowing on the inside of him, but he wasn't performing miracles. He didn't start his ministry. None of this started until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So let me make this point. If Jesus didn't minister without the power of the Holy Spirit, let me say this as politely as I can, but who in the world do you think you are that you can minister without the power of the Holy Spirit? That's quite a strong statement, but you know what? This is exactly what is happening today. People are ministering out of their own human ability. They're going to seminary, and I'm not against those kind of things. I have a Bible school myself, but you know what? I've actually had Bible school students come to us who've graduated from other seminaries and Bible schools, and in one case in particular, they never opened up the Bible. They never referred to the Bible. They had all of these books about Christianity and about things, but they didn't study the Bible. They were educating themselves. They studied secular stuff, and people were ministering out of human, natural ability. Again, I refer you to a verse that I used on our program yesterday out of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, and it says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit." You could apply that same thing over to ministers today. There are so many ministers that are ministering out of their intellect. They're ministering out of, they're good speakers, they're eloquent speakers, they're dynamic, they have a charisma about them. But if you were to take the scriptural content, you could put it in a thimble and it would roll around in there like it's nearly empty because they just don't have much scriptural basis. It's not through the power of the Holy Spirit that they're ministering. And before I finish that thought, let me just put a little parenthesis here that some people today are really deceived into thinking that if you shout and scream and say, "Glory to God," that this is the Holy Spirit. And I can't say in every case, but in the vast majority of those cases, that's just religious. It's just religious form. And the religious traditions and doctrines of man make the Word of God of none effect. Being in the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to scream and shout and sweat and wipe your fevered brow and have all of these religious mannerisms. You know, one of the most common comments that I get is people say that I passed your program for years, and I just thought you weren't anointed because you're just sitting there talking, and they were used to people shouting and screaming, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you got to shake or scream or jerk or do something weird. And people just pass me by, and then eventually they stop and listen, and all of a sudden people will say, man, my life has been changed more in a couple of months than it's been in 20 years of going to the churches where they spit and scream and run. I'm not against any of those things. But I'm saying you can't just look on the outward manifestation and say that this is the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, He didn't manifest anything until the Holy Spirit came upon Him, and there is no indication that Jesus ever had a glory cloud appear, that He ever shook, that He ever did a lot of the things that are associated with what people call being filled with the Spirit today. And yet Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit, and He had to have this experience. He was 30 years old. Here's God Himself. God in flesh had to have an anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon Him before He started His ministry. And then, as He left in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in the verses right in front of that, He told His disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. You stay put. And He also told them, don't tell anyone about His resurrection. Don't preach. Don't do anything until you be endued with power from on high. And you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So Jesus did not minister until He received the power of the Holy Spirit. He told us not to minister until we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet today there are many people, I would even venture to say that the majority of people are ministering without the power of the Holy Spirit. They're ministering out of human ability by their own might and by their own power and not through the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, let me qualify that this isn't just saying that they are ministering without screaming and yelling and running and jumping and saying, whoops, the power is on me and things like that. I'm just talking about that they're ministering out of their human ability. You know, many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've seen this. You may be in it right now. I grew up with this. People who loved God, people who were good people, but they were just sharing carnal wisdom. They were just sharing things that made sense to them, but they weren't really being inspired by God. You know, the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, that the letter, just talking about the strict interpretation without being energized by the Spirit, kills. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You can take the Word of God, and if you aren't inspired by the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit isn't active in your life, you can use the Word of God like a club to beat people and manipulate people. And every one of us have seen this. But when the Holy Spirit breathes on it, the things that used to be condemning and that are a turnoff to so many people, man, the Holy Spirit makes these things come alive. And this is the reason that Jesus told His disciples, don't minister, don't go tell anybody. They had the greatest news that had ever hit the earth, that Jesus is risen from the dead and He went back into heaven and we saw angels receive Him up into the heavens. And man, they had the greatest news that had ever hit the world. And He says, keep quiet. Don't tell anybody until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, here's another instance in John chapter 2, and this is at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He went and ministered in Jerusalem, His very first time to minister there, and the people were astounded when they saw the miracles that He did. This is the same point I was making on the program yesterday, that miracles that come as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they are like a bell that drew people to Jesus. And when He was in Jerusalem and performed all of these miracles, it said that the people thronged Him. They wanted to come and make Him king or something. And so in verse 23, John 2, 23, now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw His miracles, which He did. Again, their belief is linked to the fact that He had the power of the Holy Spirit and demonstrated it through miracles. We need that same power in demonstration today. But the next verse says, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all man and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. Let me just break this down and say it this way, that here was multitudes of people that were now convinced that Jesus was the Christ. Our religious system today, who doesn't place an importance on the Holy Spirit and doing things in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they do so much of what we call evangelism and work of the ministry and the power of the flesh. Our religious system today would have taken these multitudes, would have given them a track, would have given them 10 minutes worth of instruction and had them go out and blitz the city and think about, man, here's 1,000 or 2,000 people. Let's go evangelize. How did Jesus respond? He wouldn't commit himself unto him because he knew what was in man, and he didn't want men ministering out of their own ability. Boy, that is awesome. And you know what? That's an indictment against, I would say, the majority of the body of Christ today. That maybe they've been born again and so they love God and they want to go tell others, but instead of operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, they just go get somebody else's sermon and rehash it, warm it up a little bit and serve this leftovers. And they aren't ministering under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They aren't inspired by God. They aren't living what they preach. They're preaching against things that they have no experience with. And it's just carnal. And this is exactly what Jesus was doing as he was leaving. He says, don't go anywhere, don't tell anybody until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in my estimation, and this is going to offend some people, I can't help, but you know, in my estimation, the people who are good people, who love God, who are trying to share the gospel, and yet they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, they're doing it out of their own ability, I think they're doing more damage than they're doing good. And I know that there's a lot of people that would disagree with that and say, oh, you know, they're doing good up to a point and they're getting people born again. But they, in a sense, are inoculating people against the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit the way it was meant to be. And they bring people to a place to where they basically keep them from going on into the things of God. They are satisfying them to a degree, but not bringing them into the full thing. In many ways, it'd be much easier to reach people without the intermediate step and just come and minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus did. He wouldn't just, you know, it would have been good to have these people go out and say, man, we've found the Messiah. We've seen the miracles that he's done. Here he is. He is the Messiah. You could have rationalized that and said, well, that was good. And yet Jesus wouldn't commit himself to him, and he wouldn't let these people bear witness of him because he didn't want it done in the power of the flesh. So much of ministry today, so many churches, is all done in the power of the flesh. And again, here's another opinion. I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to verify this, but the biggest churches today are churches that have compromised the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I could name churches right now. I could name specifics that the church was birthed out of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, and it grew to thousands of people because they were flowing in the Holy Spirit, and that was their focus. And now it's changed, and they've actually taken away the reference to the Holy Spirit on their web page. They actually don't mention this. They don't talk about it because it doesn't draw as many. And you know what? Their church is mushroomed. Tens of thousands of people, huge influence. But in order to reach those people, they wouldn't mention the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't teach about speaking in tongues and be bold and profess this as a positive thing and a necessary thing. And they do that in order to increase their appeal and reach a larger number of people. But what they're doing is they're reaching more people, but they've got a diluted message, and they're drawing people into maybe an awareness of God. And again, there are good things happening. I'm not the judge, and so I'm not against those people. Do whatever they feel God wants them to do. But I believe that we ought to be outspoken. We ought to be proclaiming that it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are ever going to truly represent God. And it shouldn't be something that you put people in the back room or you share it with them in secret because you don't want to offend anybody. Man, we need to be bold with it. Jesus didn't minister until he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He told us not to minister until we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. And therefore, based on his life, based on his teachings, based on the Word of God, I'm telling you that you shouldn't be ministering until you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let me just define one thing right here. Every time I talk about this, I have somebody come up and say, well, I was baptized when I got saved. I'm not talking about water baptism. The Bible talks about multiple baptisms, plural, in Hebrews chapter 6. Now, it says in other places that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4. That's talking about one baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. But there is actually a baptism. When you get born again, you are instantly put into Christ. The word baptism is a little misleading because actually there is a Greek word, baptizo. And at the time that the Bible was translated, the method of baptism, this ritual that you initiate people into the body of Christ where you baptize them, the method that they used was sprinkling. They took little babies and they took people and they sprinkled them with water. So that's the way it was done in the 1600s when the King James Bible was translated. And yet the word baptizo literally means to submerge or immerse. And if they would have translated this, if you are immersed or submerged in water, like when John baptized Jesus, he came up out of the water. He didn't come up out of a little sprinkling. He was submerged. This would have been offensive to the religious tradition. And so rather than bring this across and translate it literally, they made a new word. They transliterated the Greek word baptizo and made the word baptism. And it was vague and they did it on purpose. And this way it wouldn't unhinge the religious people of the day. But what it's done, it's brought confusion. And so people think of water baptism, and then they think of baptism into the body of Christ, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they think, well, you know, I thought I already received this. The word baptism means to submerge, and there is a submersion in water as a symbol of your death to your old life and your resurrection. And yes, we should do that. But then there is a submersion or a putting into Christ where you are put into Him, and that is the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the baptizer into Christ. But then there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is the baptizer. Can you see that? That there's different people doing the baptism, different things that you're being baptized into. So don't think that just because you've been water baptized that you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or because you were baptized into the body of Christ that you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being completely immersed, controlled, overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit, is a separate experience from your water baptism and your salvation experience. I've got some other scriptures I'll be going into that will establish that more. But Jesus didn't minister till He was submerged, filled, anointed with the Holy Spirit. He told us not to minister. And you know what? I'm telling you that you aren't going to be effective until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is separate from salvation. It is separate from water baptism. It is a separate experience where the power of the Holy Spirit comes and just anoints you. You may have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? There's a difference. I'm going to continue to talk about this. I'm out of time today, but on our program tomorrow, we're going to go further into this. I also would like to encourage you to please get all of the materials that we're offering. We've got a special book that I give out at our Gospel Truth Seminars to literally thousands of people. It'll be a blessing. So listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
Today, Andrew is offering his book titled The New You and the Holy Spirit for a Gift of Any Amount. In this book, Andrew explains the specifics of your new life in Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Request book T323 when you contact us. The New You and the Holy Spirit is also part of a three-book set titled Foundations. Included in this set are two additional books, Spirit, Soul, and Body, and The True Nature of God. Together, these books will help make an intimate and personal relationship with God a reality for you. You can receive Foundations for a gift of any amount. Request item T4500. Andrew's two-part teaching titled The Holy Spirit is also available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1040C or DVD album T1040D when you contact the ministry. The first teaching in the CD album titled, What is the Baptism of the Holy Spirit? Is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching THO6C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries of Canada. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too-good-to-be-true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I know many of you watching the program today, you can see the benefit of what I'm saying, and you are absolutely convinced that people need to hear this. And many of you also probably bear witness that there's been a real compromise on this subject of the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I really would encourage you that if you are in agreement with this, I'd like to ask you to just become a partner with us, or at least pray about being a partner, because there's not enough people that are openly proclaiming these things, and yet we are getting a huge response. A huge response. People's lives are being changed, and we could see more people changed if we were to just reach further with these programs. So I ask you to pray about it. There's a number on your screen. Call and become a partner with the Gospel Truth. We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd. For our Summer Family Bible Conference.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
When I was first exposed to the fact that the baptism of the Holy Spirit would produce power in your life and cause you to start living on a different level and start seeing supernatural things come to pass, one of the things I had to deal with I thought I had all of this when I was born again. And this is looking like a separate experience. And so I had to reconcile that. I had to get this question answered before I could embrace that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for me.